Welcome to EVH Gear Discussion, the weekly EVH talk show officially recognized by the Van Halen News Desk, sponsored by the VanHalenStore.com and our good friends at Simple Signs and Graphics. From miserable Ontario, Canada, my name is Eric Broadbent, your host for this evening. And from a little tiny bit warmer and somewhat sunny Florida, my team co-host, Mr. Mark Kozanski. How you doing, buddy?
I'm good, man. It was a beautiful day here in South Florida. I have to brag and make everybody who's cold feeling really badly right now. I was just up in the Northeast the whole week, so it was pretty miserable, I have to say. But yeah, man, that was a gorgeous day today. So what's going on where in your world? Why is the weather so bad? Is it just snowing?
It took a bit of a turn for the colder. I'm not even sure what the temperature is out right now. Little man and I just went for a walk down to the corner store, and it wasn't too bad. We went out, like, oh, this feels kind of fresh and refreshing, but probably just because we have the heat on here at magma temperature. It was on the way back, we were like, my mustache was froze and it was sticking to my face. So it was cold. It's just Canada. It's Canada.
What are you talking, like 15 or 20 or?
See, I don't. Yeah, no, it's probably about.
You're in Celsius, so I have to.
Yeah, I think it's probably around maybe 2 degrees at the most.
Wow.
Yeah, okay. It's nuts.
Well, when I was in Boston, it was really cold. Like, I thought it was getting down to like 15 when I was there the other day. So It felt really brutal. I'm not used to it. You're used to it.
So. I know. Yeah.
Yeah. But California, I kept even when I was with a colleague of mine, I kept saying, this feels like California. It was 45 degrees and rainy.
Oh, nice. Nice. Yeah.
You know, I was like, oh, California was, we only had one good day there.
Thursday.
Yeah.
I think was it Thursday? No, it was Saturday.
Was it Friday?
I don't even know now. I know it was one nice day. I think it was Saturday now, because the next day we went back to rain.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, you're right. It was Saturday.
We didn't get a chance to really feel it. It was only like going outside for breaks and stuff like that. And, you know, going home, like, you're not even home, back to the hotel. But yeah, beautiful, beautiful day. When we were out on that balcony a couple of times, it was beautiful. It was like almost hot.
It was starting to get a little warm, but the sun was just really kind of shining on us. But that, Charlie got some great pictures and we got some great video there.
Yeah.
But, so let me check who's with us today.
Mm-hmm.
If I can find it. I did have it before. Here we go. Oh, we got a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
What's going on? Is this live right now?
Yeah. Yep.
No. This is old that I'm looking at. Looking at something really old.
Okay.
All right, why don't you monitor that right now?
Okay, I'll do that. All right, we've got a few people to set up.
I'm looking at some. Like, I haven't been home in like 2 weeks, so suddenly I popped up a chat that was 2 weeks
old.
Oh,
okay. All right, so we got Poison Ivy starting off the round of people saying, hey, folks. Rich Datis says, hey. Rick Smith says, hi, everyone. Vinny Romano's back again. Thanks, Vinny. You're making a couple shows in a row. That's awesome.
Oh, Mark, cool. Yeah. Hey, Vinny. How's it going? All right. I just pulled it up. So.
Okay, good. You got it? All right. Continue from Vinny there.
All right. So, I want to just say hi, Poison Ivy. I hear you some family over. So, very cool. Rick Datis, you know, I need new glasses. That's the one thing I have to say, or I got to move this computer a little forward because I think I'm going a little blind here.
Oh, I love that feeling.
Yeah. So, Vinny Romano, Rick Smith, Zachary Suter, what's going on? Sinner, what's going on, man? VH News Desk. Hope it's not a discussion about another 33rd anniversary or something again.
Don't think so.
No, I don't think so. I was going to talk about the snare drum article. I'm really, really into talking about that Ludwig snare from Alex Van Halen. Really wanted to talk about that. And there's a couple other things on there that I wanted to talk about. Sean Zimmerman, how you doing? Choppers guys, hey guys. Gibbo, hello guys. Some of these are new names, I think. Sean Zimmerman, been a while in a hospital. Kid, oh man, I'm sorry to hear that.
Very sorry to hear that, Sean. I hope you're feeling better sometime soon.
Yeah, kidney failure. Actually having plasmapheresis and in dialysis right now. Haven't felt good at all. Dude, I'm really sorry to hear that. Feel better, and I wish you luck, man.
We'll send some prayers for you for sure.
Yeah, definitely. I'll be thinking about you, and keep your head up. It's tough, man. Really. Vinny Romano, it's going good. Cool. As Poison says, sorry to hear, Sean. Watch as much as you can, and go back and watch some of the real, cool videos, and hopefully it'll keep your mind off things or whatever you can. What else is going on in the world? We wanted to talk about the Van Halen News Desk.
Yeah.
And there's a couple of great articles that that a lot of great articles that were on there, but in particular, was there anyone that you wanted to talk about, Eric? Because I was thinking about the Jacob Darabs and Josh Gallagher one that was really good, and their cover of Out of Love Again.
I think that was their first one for the year, wasn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. And I really liked it. I really liked it. And as a matter of fact, I found myself wanting to sing over it. You know, I just want to download it and go ahead and do my best. No, it's funny. You know, I thought they sounded fantastic. And you wouldn't, if someone uploaded that and just said, you know, outtake of Van Halen, could you tell? You know, mm-hmm. I don't know. It sounded great.
That's one of my favorites. I like that song a lot. I was actually jamming it today. It's nice. Another one with a nice swing to it. Mm-hmm. It's cool. Those guys, I think we're only the first few weeks into January. They're getting a great cover out already. I'm anxious to see what those guys do throughout the year today. I mean, this year, I should say.
Yeah, they're going to be, I'm sure they're going to be putting out a lot of stuff. And, you know, I see Jacob's working with Pariah Pickups now doing some.
Perfect.
Yeah, he's doing like some collaboration with them, and I think he's signed on with them, and they're doing like some concept or whatever. What do you call that?
Like a prototype, kind of a
prototype. Prototype. Yeah. Exactly. So that's pretty nice. Cool.
That's a good artist to have on the roster for sure.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah,
kid knows tone. He plugs straight in. I saw someone say, you know, did you use any effects? Did you know, or anything? He's like, nope, just plug straight in.
And just cranks it. He dimes everything just like Eddie did in the day. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. He loves that. He loves that natural way of just
organic
going for it. Yeah, exactly. Which is great. I love
that. That's a tough thing to do too. We talked about that before. I mean, I couldn't do it myself. I feel comfortable with my rig and some mm-hmm. of the Van Halen stuff. But if I was to plug into a plexi like that and try to emulate that tone without the comfort zone of a pedal or something, I'd be very intimidated.
Totally. You know, I mean, I usually want to, although I'll say this morning I woke up, I was playing a little bit in the garage and, you know, with the bias head, and I didn't put on any reverb or delay. And I was playing there for about 40 minutes, mm-hmm. you know, 45 minutes until I realized that there was no delay or reverb on. And I was like, wow,
that's sounded pretty good.
Yeah, yeah, I was like, that sounded pretty good considering I forgot that I even didn't put it on. But then once I put it on, I was like, I'm much better in my comfort zone.
Yeah.
You know, I felt a lot better. But you know, the other thing that's great about that cover that they did was the drums. Josh's drums on that are stellar.
He's got the sound down.
Yeah, totally. That's the thing. That he has the sound. I mean, he definitely plays great, and there's no doubt about it. But the tone of Alex Van Halen's drums, especially the snare, is just so identifiable, right?
Oh yeah, yeah, it's funny that you mentioned that too, because this is kind of a slight sidestep. But at the same time, we talk about Alex's sound. I was talking to Liquid Charlie today, and mm-hmm. he sent me a prototype of something that's coming out. I don't want to tell anybody what it is yet because I don't want to spoil his thunder. But he showed me the finished version of it before he does, you know, his video for it. Mm. And first of all, I love it. I totally love it. It was something that's one of my favorites. And he said, how do you think the mix is? And how do you think this is? I said, the mix is great. The only thing I said that would make that 100% perfect, I mean, its performance is good. So if you could just have Alex's snare on that, you got Van Halen 100%. And it was just, you know, have that knocky wood, that cool, you know, and it would have been, and it's no disrespect to Charlie, because he doesn't have Alex Van Halen there, right?
You know? Yeah, well, to get that, it's very hard to, you know, even in any program or anything like that, to get that exact sound. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah, you could sample it and you still wouldn't have the right attack. You can have the same hit every time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But exactly. Wait to hear this, guys. Oh, man.
Yeah. Oh, I can't wait to hear it.
Yeah.
That's very cool. So let's see. We got Jared here, and also David Nesdal. How's it going?
I hope you feel a little bit better, Dave.
Yeah, I think the last time that we chatted, he was feeling better, but I'm sorry to hear about your cat, David. Mm-hmm. That definitely sucks. So, and let's see. Mark, update us on what's available as Lefty from the EVH camp. The Creamer 5150 doesn't appear to be available in Lefty. So, Skibble, that's the one thing that I wish I had done at NAMM with Matt. I was thinking about that if we had just done a small little segment about the Lefty stuff that they had available, which I think would have been really small little segment. Yeah. So, basically, what I understand, it's just the USA models right now that they have Lefties available. Mm-hmm. I have not seen any other lefties available in the specials, in the standards, or in the stripe series. So, and of course, I don't think there's going to be any lefties in the relic or in the new signature models. So that's what I understand. If anybody else has another, you know, piece of information on that, I'd love to know. But what do you think, Eric? Did you hear anything different? I think that's what it is.
Nothing as of yet. No, I think that's pretty much status quo right now.
Yeah, yeah. They used to have a special in lefty, and I'm curious why they stopped making it.
Could have been sales.
Yeah, you know, could have been.
Yeah.
But I think that you may be able to still find them out there.
There'll be some new old stock for sure. I'm sure you can find new old stock out there.
And I totally recommend guys checking out Southpaw Guitars for the lefty guys. That was where I got this USA just less than 6 months ago, 8 months ago maybe. It was pretty much new when I got it. And it's I don't know what the year is on it, but it's relatively maybe 2009 or something like that. Anyway, long story short, I wish they had more lefty models. Definitely put the whisper into Matt about more lefty models.
Yeah, exactly. He knows we want them for sure for left-handed fans.
Yeah.
And I think it'd be great to see some of those stripe series in left-handed. I just think I hate to say it, it just all comes down to manufacturing cost, and the demand. It's always, supply and demand. And I'd like to see the numbers to see how many people would demand it. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to put a survey on the website, evhgeardiscussion.com. I'll do that overnight, and we'll comment on that. We'll just see what kind of feedback we get on that. And usually I have it so it doesn't show the number of votes. It just shows us a percentage. Mm-hmm. I'm going to change it to be, because I mean, you could have two people vote. It's only going to show a percentage. I'm going to change that to numbers, numeric, and I'm going to have, I'll share that with EVH. I'll let you know everybody when that's up there. And maybe comment on that, and we'll certainly funnel over the feedback to the team there.
And yeah, I mean, is there a way to get it where they only vote once, so we don't have multiple votes and stuff like that? But
I can lock it down with cookies and IP addresses and things like that, so it'd make it relatively fair. If someone really wants to hammer it, there's ways to do it. But most people aren't going to sit there and try to get three votes in because they're not winning anything. They're just possibly getting a left-handed guitar made for them.
Right. You know? That's true. Yep,
yeah.
That's, yeah.
So yeah. I'll do that.
I think it's a great idea.
Yeah.
Definitely. I wish they had more lefties. There's no doubt about it. And hopefully, maybe this will get them to make a lefty stripe series, at least one of them. I think the 5150 would be a great one to make a lefty in. So at least for me.
Yeah.
So, some other things that I think I just wanted to maybe go back to the chat just to see what's going on.
Keep going, for sure.
Okay. Let's see. So Vinny saying, how are you, buddy? I'm doing good. Will Dunham. David said, I'm good. How are you? So I think I'm pretty much all the way down to the bottom here.
Good.
I think the problem is the big demand isn't there. That's ultimately what it is. And I've asked other manufacturers to make lefty guitars that they tend not to. And it's not easy. I think they have to reverse the whatever machining that they're doing and all kinds of things. I think I was very lucky to have Christopher Locke make me a lefty body for one of my guitars, because I think it was the first one that he ever made.
Oh, so, wow, that's cool. Has he gotten more orders since then? Do you know, like, is he manufacturing left now, or is it just kind of a custom thing?
I honestly don't know, but I remember when he posted it up there, he was like, this was fun. This was my first lefty. And I was like, really? It was your first lefty ever made? It's funny. I wonder how many people out there. I mean, it's funny because I do hear from other lefties who are out there who, write to me and stuff like that. And of course, we see people here who are into it. So, but here, Sinner said it. That's the setup cost for the CNC machine to run a few lefty guitars probably isn't cost effective.
I agree.
Yeah. Mark, I think yours was the first, Dave Nesdal said.
Yeah.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah. Yeah. But I mean, there's people out there that want it, and we see a lot of times too. There's a lot of we've seen this on the show a lot of times. There's a lot of guys that are left-handed in their day-to-day lives, but they've learned how to play guitar right-handed, so they've had that option. And, you know, it does suck. I feel sorry for not just Van Halen fans, guitar fans in general. We've had this conversation many times. Mm-hmm. You walk into a music store, and I've worked in music retail. Dave Nesdahl's worked in music retail. You know, you walk in here I am. I'm a Joe customer walking in with my parents. I'm going to go get my first guitar, and I'm left-handed. I see 400 guitars over there that are right-handed with multiple colors, multiple versions. And then I have 10 to choose from left-handed on a good day. And out of
that's a great day. That's great.
I know it's more like four. It's probably like 1% of what you have. And it's just not fair.
Yeah. It definitely stinks. And, if I had to do it all over again, I probably wouldn't do anything differently. Because it's just very comfortable for me to play this way. It's very strange, but that's just the way I play. And even when I play drums, I'm kind of messed up. I'm lefty on top and righty on the bottom. It's very, very strange. I kind of play like Simon Phillips.
Okay.
So if I were really to play, I'd cross over like this.
Okay.
Which is lefty. You know, I lead with my lefty hi-hat hand, which most guys lead like this. But my feet are righty.
Okay.
Which is strange. It's just the way I learned, you know, and
when
people pick up an instrument sometimes, but, you know, getting back to the drums, mm-hmm. I was really impressed with Josh's drumming on there. And of course the sound, and that kind of brings us back to the Ludwig article.
Yeah.
That's on the Van Halen news desk. And that, you know, that snare looks awesome.
It does. I've got the page open right now. It's just phenomenal.
Yeah, me too. I'm looking at it, and some of the case candy that comes with it was super cool. It's got this AH logo on the actual drum itself.
Yep.
It's got this beautiful kind of pearlish looking, or it looks like metal, I guess, the snare itself.
Mm-hmm. Kind of like a brushed metal almost. Like pearloid brushed metal almost.
It's limited to 100, right? It comes with a anvil case that's lined in like blue velour.
Oh, wow.
And a certificate of authenticity that's signed by Alex, and a custom 24 karat gold drum key.
Nice.
So, and that's, I think it's being sold for $16.99.
Yeah.
You know, and if I hadn't gotten rid of my drums, I probably would have thought about buying it.
It'd be nice as a conversation piece too. I mean, would be a collectible. That case alone is pretty. You have somebody come over and open up that case, kind of,
I'm actually surprised the price isn't higher, to be honest with you, because when I don't know who did it, it may have been DW Drums, but they did a Neil Peart drum, snare reissue kind of thing that I think he did for the 30th anniversary or whatever it was that they did for Neil Peart. And, or as other people say, Peart. How do you say it? Because you're Canadian.
I call it Peart, but I think they actually say Peart.
Yeah. I've been debating that since I was like 16.
I've always called Neil Peart, but that's just me.
And that's just me too. But I have a buddy of mine who's always Neil Peart. Neil Peart. I'm like,
in Canada, you'll fight over Rush. I mean, actually, you'll fight anywhere over Rush. People, you know, you say Peart or Pert, or you say, you know, things like that, or Rush sucks, and then people punch you in the face. People are really passionate. I think even more passionate about Rush than Van Halen. They'll fight you.
In Canada, yeah, definitely. Yeah. I can imagine that. But that's a them and Triumph, probably, right?
Yeah, Triumph. Yeah, and unfortunately, I'm not a real Tragically Hip fan. I will turn the radio when Tragically Hip comes on. I shouldn't say that.
I don't know anything about them.
Yeah, they're pretty big. They're kind of the soundtrack to Canada. Hopefully I don't lose any Canadian subscribers for saying that. But yes, I like Tragically Hip. Subscribe.
You can't like everybody.
No, you can't.
But yeah, I love Triumph. Big, you know, Rick Emmett fan. And
speaking of which, I heard from his management team, and they are still working with us.
He's been doing a lot of stuff. He's been busy.
Mm-hmm. He's been very busy. And the problem is he needs to be, Dave, his other guitar player, they need to be together for this to happen. And they're just trying to get the two of them together. And that's the only limitation right now. So that is still going to happen. So I know I'm really looking forward to that. I know you are as well, too. A virtuoso guitarist.
Oh, yeah. He's great.
Yeah.
I love his tone, just his ear, his note choices, everything about the guy, you know, and his music is super cool. Wow, we've got a lot of comments here since
I think there's some there's a lot of debate about the CNC stuff. So we'll agree to disagree on all that stuff. I don't know enough about it, so I'm going to take to who's ever commenting in the chat. The Sinner knows a little bit about it, and Skibble seems to know a little bit about it. If you guys know more about it, I'll trust you guys, because you guys you probably know more than we do. So
yeah, I don't know anything about that.
Nope.
I will say that I was very interested in getting a Friedman guitar,
mm-hmm.
and it's not that easy for them to make a lefty for me.
Yeah,
because if they had, I'm sure he would have wanted to sell me one. So it's just not that easy, at least from what I understand. Yeah. But look, I'd love for them to do it at the end of the day. So
for sure.
And then Cat Dumpling says it's Peart. Mm-hmm. Neil's confirmed it many times. Yeah, I think you're right. But I still always go back to Peart.
Yeah, I just have a hard time saying that. I have a hard time saying Peart. I don't know why. It's just probably because I've never said it. So
it doesn't roll off the tongue.
No.
Like Uzansky.
Yeah. You want to hear a funny story? Since we're on a bit of a Rush story, this was my I played in a Rush tribute band as a young teen.
Did you?
Yeah, I did actually. My drummer was phenomenal.
That's hard to do.
Oh yeah. Well, the bass player, he actually played a Steinberger back in the day. I had a Steinberger bass. The drummer had a double bass Ludwig kit. And I was using Kramers, believe it or not, back in the day, Kramers through Marshalls and things like that, but it was fun. But this is probably even before that. I went down to Toronto, went to Yorkville, Yorkville, I guess it was. And there was a little Jewish delicatessen down there called, Meyer's Delicatessen, and, Geddy Lee was there, and we went in there for a bite to eat, right? Go in there. And, it was, me, my sister and brother-in-law. And this was right around the Grace Under Pressure tour. So that would be 89-ish, somewhere in there, somewhere around. I'm not sure if anyone knows for sure. Tell me that in the chat.
Yeah, but probably around 88, 89, I would think.
Yeah, and because I had the Grace Under Pressure cassette.
That came out after Subdivisions, right? So mm-hmm. What was between Subdivisions and Grace Under Pressure?
Well, Moving Pictures was in there before Subdivisions, right?
Well, that's before, right.
Yeah, yeah. So after Subdivisions, was there not Presto, that was probably later. Roll the Bones was even later. I'm really stretching my Russian knowledge now.
It might be Grace Under Pressure.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, so it's about 87, 88, 89, around there, that's what I'm thinking.
So I had this cassette in my pocket, and we were in there, and this restaurant had all these mirrors all the way around. Like, picture my room here with mirrors all the way around. So when you're sitting at your table, you could look to your right and you could see people behind you. And I think it was either for the ambiance or maybe it was for the waitresses to see everyone, whatever. But it was Geddy, his son, and Terry Brown, I believe his name is, the producer, back in the day. And so when we walk in right away, Geddy's got big glasses on. He's a pretty, noticeable man. His facial features, you tend to know it's Geddy Lee right away. And so my sister says, "Oh man, that's that guy from that band Crush." And I was like, "Crush?" And I think Geddy heard her. I was like, "Oh man, how could you say that?" And so I know I've told the story on the show one time before, but I'll say it again anyways. So I wanted to get his autograph really, really bad. A teenager meeting a celebrity, probably one of the first celebrities. Mm-hmm. And I said to my brother-in-law, who's a semi-famous musician, it was famous back in the day. And taught me a lot of things. I said, "I want to go get his autograph." He goes, "No, it's not. These guys come in here because they can get in here and not be bothered. This is like their family here. Don't bug them." I'm like, "Okay, I understand. I won't." Whatever. And then he gets up later on in the throughout the meal, whatever. And he takes his little boy to the bathroom. He says, "Why don't you go to the bathroom, whatever?" And just kind of go, "Oh, hello," accidentally bump into him, right? So I go in there and I had a matchbook. Yeah, I know. I had a matchbook. It said Meyer's on it. Meyer's Delicatessen. And so I go in there. I'm pretending to go to the bathroom, whatever. And he's helping his boy, whatever, blah, blah, blah. And as he's about to walk out, everyone's washing their hands and stuff like that. I said, "Excuse me, Mr. Lee, I'm your biggest fan." Like in today's standard, you would say, "I download all your music, you know, but, I said, I have your cassette right now." And why I actually had him autograph the matchbook, maybe it was a memento or something, I don't know, but I got the autograph, blah, blah, blah. It was fast forward several years to the future. Geddy Lee's at a Toronto Blue Jays baseball game, or maybe it was the football team. I forget what it was, but he's at one of the events, probably Blue Jays, because he's a big enthusiast. And it was either like Hit Parader or Circus or Cream, one of those magazines in the day, whatever one was left, and was interviewing like, how's the success of the album? What's fame like for, Canadian musician, blah, blah, blah. He goes, everything's going good, blah, blah, blah. But he goes, it's getting to the point these days where I can't go to the bathroom without getting hounded for an autograph. And I'm like, I mean, it could be very much a coincidence. It probably is.
It's a coincidence. Yeah.
Yeah. But man, oh man,
you're not the only one who's probably done it. That's the horrible thing about it.
I know. So yeah,
you can't blame him, but you were a kid.
Exactly. And I was pretty stoked. Yeah. I was pretty stoked meeting him. That was neat, but he was nice. He was a good gentleman for sure.
Interestingly enough, a buddy of mine texted me over the weekend. I forget what day it was. He was in a restaurant in New York City, and he said that Geddy Lee and Alex Lifeson were together in a restaurant in New York City.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. So it was around the time that we were just getting back from NAMM.
Okay.
Or sometime around there. It's all a blur, to be honest with you. But I wrote him. I'm like, what restaurant? Tell me, you know?
Yeah.
Those
guys strike me as best friends. They really do.
Yeah, they do.
And they've been together forever.
And Neil's kind of, you know, he's more of the aloof guy. He doesn't do any of the signings and stuff like that, which is cool. You know, he gets kind of weirded out by all the fame and accolades and all that other stuff, which is cool.
I remember one time seeing him in Detroit at, I think it was Joe Louis Arena at the time. And you know how he's a real physical fit dude. And he was out riding a bike, which is strange. Like, you know, obviously there, you know, it was because ready for sound check and stuff like that. He came riding up on an old fashioned 10 speed, not an old fashioned one, probably like those racing ones. Mm-hmm. Security guys are kind of guiding him in and goes into his little spot. It was just neat seeing Neil Peart drive through on a 10 speed bike. It was very cool.
Yeah, that's cool. Yeah, he's an active guy. Mm. Definitely active guy. Let's see. At the risk of getting run out of talent, Alex Lifeson is my personal EVH when it comes to guitar, if it makes sense. No, man, that makes total sense. For me, even, you know, as much as Eddie is really hard, I have to go in and really study Alex Lifeson and his technique and everything, because he is very unique also.
Mm-hmm.
And the way he plays, it's very unique. And the way his chord choices and everything like that are very unique. I think we talked about that with Eric Sands one time, right?
From Positive Grin. Yeah, because he's a big Rush fan.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Let's see. Eric, is the Lunchbox too good for a small bar and a full band situation? I would say completely.
Yeah, I think so. I know we'll have some arguments over that. And even Dave Nesdal, if he's still here in the chat, he's disagreed with me before, and that's totally fine. And who was I?
That the Lunchbox isn't loud enough for a band?
For a live environment, I think it is. I think you can get away with it.
Now, I definitely think you can.
Smaller clubs. And you know, what's funny too is, I just saw someone post online today. I'm trying to think, who was it? One of my Canadian buddies, Chris Waite. He's out in the West Coast, I think. Mm-hmm. A lot of places now, I think that was him. But a lot of guys, or maybe it was Jeff Goble. I'm not sure. Jeff Goble, I think it was.
Dave says he's here. So, Dave, what do you think? Did you really, if you think it's not loud enough, let us know.
I think in a smaller environment, as long as you can hear, if you have that as a monitor or a wedge aimed at you, I think you're going to be fine. If you can get your mix through the monitors, I think you're fine. I know when I'm in this room here, this is about 12 by 12. I have it on the quarter power, which is, he's saying he doesn't think it's loud enough with a two guitar player band. Maybe two guitar players. You might have some merit there with one guitar player and a bass player. I think you'll be fine because you're not competing with the other guitar player. But on a quarter of a power here, which is 4 watts, I can rip my head off from, and I'm how far? I'm like I'm about 10 feet away from that amp back there right now, and it'll rip my head off.
Well, let's just say I had my Friedman Runt, which is 20 watts. Now that's 15 watts, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So, I will say, you know, I had a Vox Nitrain. I've never owned the Lunchbox, but I had a Vox Nitrain that was 15 watts, and I wouldn't think it was loud enough to be with a band for whatever reason. But from what I heard at the EVH Gear booth in NAMM, that thing really was loud.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's the only thing I can say. It was very loud, but maybe for one guitar player band. You know,
yeah, that's what Dave's saying too.
I think it's a very good point. It's a very good point because things do start to get muddy when you got two guitar players playing over each other. And if you can't, you know, and especially if you got another guy who's got a really ripping amp, and maybe you're going to be competing for it.
Yeah.
You know,
and, Lee's saying, show us. I think he might be referring to the amp. And I wish I could right now. That one is unplugged. I'm running through the 100-watt head right now. And the Lunchbox is my favorite amp, go-to amp. But lately, I've been playing a lot with overdrive pedals. And I've had to do that through the 100-watt. However, that being said, I'm going to be grabbing the new launch box, and you'll see a lot of demos on that one, because now I can run an overdrive pedal in there. And mm-hmm. and I get this a lot. People say to me a lot, either I get emails through the website, or people send me Facebook messages, and they're just like, some people have been nice about it. Some people have been just asking questions. Other people say, you're freaking insane. Why would you want to use a distortion pedal on an amp like that? It actually sounds very, very good. Very, very good. To the point where I'm probably playing now 60%, 75% overdrive pedal as mm-hmm. opposed to the natural tube distortion. It's just because the two pedals I'm using, we both have them. The 5150 overdrive and the BE overdrive, they sound phenomenal.
Both are great.
Yeah. And you know what? Today, I think, I'm not sure if you saw me playing earlier live on Facebook.
I haven't checked it out yet.
Yeah, I was using the Freedman, and that's rare for me because I favor the other. The tone was there. The mojo was there. I was just in the right mood. Yeah. And I kept the Freedman on all day today. It was great.
That's awesome. You know, most of the time that I've been playing, I've been using the bias head a lot. I just go in the garage. I got the 4x12 PV5150 cabinet, and I put the bias head on there, and I just go ahead and choose from a myriad of different amps, you know, like depending on my mood, which is super cool. You know, I love that thing. I really do.
And speaking of bias too, Eric was telling me last night, he's coming up here to Canada sometime in the very near future. It's like through my area.
Oh, cool.
So I'm looking forward to that. Even if it's Toronto, I mean, as you know, is where I flew from, 2.5 hour drive. I'll go see him for sure.
Yeah. You guys should meet up.
That'd be nice.
Yeah. Very cool. I do think that the Lunchbox is a super cool amp. I'd like to pick one up as well. You know, I'm a bit amped out right now, and I think I have another guitar coming. Yep. So I think I'm going to hold off for a little while. But I do think by the end of the year, I will have a Lunchbox.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to that. It's going to look really nice. I'm going to move those little guitars back there in that little micro stack.
And you'll have them too.
It's going to look beautiful. I cannot wait. Yeah.
Plus,
I think a 212. I want to actually get a 212 cabinet for it. Just so I can actually have two amps running at the same time here, and for the Solfac 2 and Little Eric and I jam, instead of bringing this Katana down from upstairs, which is easy enough.
Yeah.
Everything right here, ready to go, and we'll be into a Lunchbox and jam, so it'd be fun.
That's cool. Yeah, you're going to get a black 2x12 or white? Do they still make it white?
You can still get them in the white. I might go black just for the sole fact that if I ever want to use the 212 on that rig there too, I can kind of, the black cabinet will look nice between the head and the 412.
Yeah. That'd be pretty cool. I still love the striped, when Eddie had some of those striped cabinets.
Yeah, they look pretty neat.
Oh man, the red and, you know, the I think it was red and white, and then he had
some yellow, black and yellow.
Yeah. It was gorgeous.
It was nice. Yeah, the 2004 tour, he was doing that a lot.
So we got a question for me here. Mark, do you use the Freedman Runt a lot? You know, I haven't been playing a lot in general because I've been traveling a lot for work, and we were at NAMM. But in general, I do use the Freedman Runt a lot. I actually switched off. I brought the Freedman Runt in to the, into my garage where the 4x12 is. And I was playing it through that because I hadn't played a 4x12 with that head yet. And it is loud, man. I don't know about 15 watts, but a 20 watt Freedman head is unlike any other head I've ever seen, because this thing is super, super loud.
I think Dave plays tricks on us. I think it's probably a 75 watt amp. He just wants to make, but it's only 20 watts.
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy, but it only has two EL84s in it, which generally would put out about 15 to 20 watts. But it's got four 12 AX7s and two EL84s.
That's cool.
Yeah, but it's so good. It's such a great amp. I love it. I really do. And then when we were in the Freedman, that was probably one of my favorite stops. One of my favorite stops was the Freedman room.
It was good.
I loved it. So yeah, let's see. We got some other. Lee Gordon says, try an attenuator. The high gain amps are made to be driven so much better when they're loud. I run my Stealth 100 with an attenuator. You know, I tried using an attenuator when I used to have my 100 watt head. I had I don't know if anybody's heard of the Alex attenuator. You ever hear this?
Yes.
So that was from the gear page. There was a guy on there, and it was a super cool one. And then there was also the Ho attenuator, which became the Ultimate attenuator.
Gotcha.
You ever see that one?
No, I've seen that one.
Okay, so I was so into this before because I used to have a JCM 800, and it was a 2203 JCM 800. And the only way you could really get that thing to sing was to crank it.
Yep.
Unless you used a pedal in front of it, because it didn't have
or something.
Right. It didn't have enough gain. So you really had to push the power section to get that amp sounding good. And so, and for me, I was really trying to go for that tone at the time until I learned that I just really probably should just get a higher gain amp, you know? Mm-hmm. But I used the attenuator with, I went through a series of different attenuators. I used the Marshall break, or I forget what it's called. I tried the Ho attenuator, which was also the, became the ultimate attenuator, whoever bought that out, and his technology. And then there was the other attenuator that I meant, Alex attenuator. I think ultimately I like the ultimate attenuator better. Good choice of words. It was super cool though. It just, you know, you just ran it between your cabinet and your head, and you just kind of just dialed it. It was just like another volume knob, nice. Basically, you know, and you just turn the volume, you know, down or up or whatever. And I don't know if anybody else is using, there you go. The power break. Mm-hmm. Dave Nesdell says, yeah. I've also seen, I've told my cousin, he has a Fender 57 twin, mm-hmm. which is a great amp, but super loud. And I was telling him to get a Dr. Z attenuator that they have, which is, you know, kind of plugs into the back of a combo, mm-hmm. and you can use that. And, you know, that's pretty cool. And Jaden's in the house.
Yeah. How's it going, buddy?
I got to put some money in the jar. I said in the house.
Oh, you did too. There you go. I almost said it last night. Almost said it last night. A couple of people caught me right now saying the first syllable of
clink.
Okay. Yeah. All right. You know, I was going to say, oh yes. On the topic of Friedman, I had to look this up on Facebook because I forgot when the day was, and something I think this would be very, very cool. It's doable for me to do, which we can in turn do it for the show for Mark and I. Seduce. Remember the guys we met at Friedman, Dave and Chuck? Mm-hmm. Well, they're doing a live show April 1st. I'm looking at it right now at Token Lounge in Michigan. So Sinner, if you're still watching, you and I can hook up and go meet there. And it'd be something that we could possibly work into the show. It'd be awesome. Those guys were really, really cool.
They were very cool.
Yeah, I'm sure Dave's going to be there for that because Dave, obviously they're using Friedman stuff and Dave loves those guys. Mm-hmm. So who knows? I'll talk to Dave Friedman, see if he's going to be there and we can maybe have him on. I know he's going to come back on as a guest anyways, but how cool would it be to incorporate two things at one time with us? Would be great.
Yeah, I'd like to check out their band too.
Yeah, they go way back. Like when I've always said, oh yeah, he's saying, let's go see if Marty wants to come. Marty's the owner of Motor City Music. I've been talking about doing something over there because they're an EVH dealer too. We could really turn this into something big. We'll talk about that.
Yeah, those guys were nice.
Mm-hmm. So it really, I mean, you look at, they kind of remind me as like almost Spinal Tap. They had that real old rock and roll rock star, but you know, just Lemmy kind of meets, you know what I'm trying to say?
Yeah, totally. I mean, they're just they look like they look the part. Basically. Yeah,
they look like they've toured the world and, you know, and it was their oyster, so to speak, you know?
Yeah, totally. You know, they have the jet black hair.
Yeah.
You know, and everything. And I haven't heard their music. That's the thing. I have to hear.
Look them up for sure and start discovering them. It's awesome.
That's cool. That's cool. Yeah, right, I grew up at the Token Lounge, says Lee Gordon.
Oh, right on.
That's cool. He says,
and that's when? April 1st, Saturday, April 1st, 7 p.m. Token Lounge, Westland, Michigan. So look up Seduce. It's Official Seduce on Facebook. That's right. Sinner commented April 1st. Look up Official Seduce on Facebook. Add them if you want to. Check them out. They're just a fun band. Really, really cool. And that's, I grew up listening to Riff, WRIF 101.1 FM Detroit. That's Sinner's, obviously, his hometown there. They've been going for over 30 years. Maybe, Sinner, correct me if I'm wrong, maybe closer to 40 years. And radio stations don't usually last that long without flipping a format. Trust me, I just came out of radio that flipped formats every other day. You know, one day it's headbanging
that's
music.
That's common, yeah.
Yeah, it just sucks. But
whatever's going to get you ratings.
Yeah, exactly. But they stuck to their guns. And that's, I remember listening to, there's so many bands I discovered because of Riff. And I couldn't even, back in the day, I couldn't afford the records or the cassettes. So I would tape the songs off the radio, like a lot of us did. Wait for it, you know. And if the DJ talked over a vocal, I'd get so mad, you know, you ruined my music, right? You know?
Totally. I used to make mixtapes.
Mm-hmm.
I think I was secretly, I wanted to be my own DJ. You know, so I was just making, and I would make, try to have songs kind of blend into other songs.
Oh, yeah, like crossfade stuff. Yeah.
I was just like, okay, you know, as that song ends, it kind of fades into the next song. And I got so used to some of these mixtapes that when I would hear, even till this day, when I hear certain songs, I'm expecting
that fade,
the fade and the next song into it, like the whatever band was next.
Yeah.
And especially Goodbye to Romance is one of those songs that was on that tape. Whenever I hear that, It's supposed to go into another song. I can't remember what it was, but it's funny. It just kind of the way the brain works, right? You just kind of remember, you know, it's just like how music or smells memorize, you know, give you a memory of a certain time frame in your life. You know?
Yeah. You want to hear a funny story about the music, how we are all recording our like our tunes off the radio. This will really date my age too. But people can, some people on the show will relate.
Right.
And this kind of has a bit of a story how Sandra Lee and I hooked up as well too. But I used to, my parents bought me this, like, we call them ghetto blasters. I don't know. I'm sure they call them back there it sometimes too.
Boom boxes.
Mm-hmm. And anyways, somebody's messaged me right now. So yeah, boom box, but it was an 8-track. It was an 8-track player. It took like 10 D batteries, like the big ones. It would have been simpler to pull a car battery along with it.
Right, right. 10 D batteries.
Wow. Or maybe 8 or 10. But it was heavy just with the batteries alone. But it was loud as heck. And so I would take my mom's 8-tracks, and you could take a little piece of tape, just like on a cassette, and you could put it over it so you could actually record over them.
Right. You said that one time. That's right.
Yeah. And so I bring that, and I had the Van Halens. I had all the stuff, but you could always say, you're listening to 101 WRAF, baby. And I was like, you know, trying to keep that on the download. So it looks like it was my music, right, that I bought or whatever.
That's funny.
And 8-tracks are embarrassing. So you'd be listening to all of a sudden tick, tick, and it goes to the next track, and then it continues the song again.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, I hated 8-tracks. But, you know, I used to have a really awesome boombox by Panasonic. Really big. I mean, it was just, you know, like, I can't even get into the screen, but it was definitely a big box when I was like in eighth grade. And I had it for so many years that I used to use it when I was drumming with my band back in college. I used to use it to record us all the time.
Mm-hmm.
with the cassette.
Yep.
It actually gave it some of the best band recordings that I had ever heard.
Tell me again.
It was just a boombox, but Panasonic.
Yeah, sometimes they have really good mics. Sometimes the mics wouldn't be, they'd be like not auto gain, but they could handle extreme volumes.
Yeah, for whatever reason. Maybe they had bigger mics on them, because I remember the mic kind of being like that big on each side.
Yep.
At the end of the day, it sounded great. I mean, we used to use that to record the band. I still have bootlegs of my band back in college from using that I digitized it. So it's on my iTunes and stuff.
That's
cool. Which is cool.
I actually good enough to send to a bar as a demo. I remember those days.
Yeah, yeah. By the way, if anybody ever wants to get a good laugh of me, you can check out my band on YouTube. When I was a drummer back in the 90s in New York City, the band was called Gumption Trap.
That's pretty cool.
Gumption Trap, TRAP. Check it out and get a good laugh.
That's good. I've heard it's good.
Yeah. Yeah, it's okay. You know, we can debate what the issues were with the band, but at the end of the day, it's great just to go back and look at that. It's 25 years ago, you know, to go back and look at that stuff. It's crazy.
That's right.
It's crazy.
I dropped a band name today, and I was surprised I even remembered it. When I was doing the Facebook Live thing earlier, I mentioned two other band names that I was in besides the Finding Core band, and my old drummer was actually watching. Like we don't talk every day. We hardly talk. And it was a band called Flaunting Doxy. And that's a weird band. Yeah. And, I remember the funny thing is the bass player, I mean, not that this was a good thing by any means, the bass player would show up and, you know, he would open up his car door just to go get the gear at the jam house. And as he'd open his car door, it'd be like 55 beer cans would roll out and fall on the ground. And, I remember one time we're playing a show and, it was a small town called Leamington, Ontario, a place called the Village Inn. It was like a strip club during the day. And then a rock bar at night with a partial strip club. They just didn't get the memo that they had to leave. And we were playing in there, and at the back of the stage is about a 6 or 8 foot fall drop off backwards. And bass player, he's pretty hammered already. He's walking back. He falls over his amp and falls down the 6 or 7 foot incline. It was just hilarious.
Oh.
But my drummer from that band, long story short, was watching today. It was pretty.
That's cool. That's cool. You know, you never know who's watching.
That's right.
That's the lesson learned. Never know who's watching. But I'm still friends with my singer from that band. And he jokes. He was like, I don't know why you guys kept me in the band, because I was a horrible singer. But at the end of the day, I wouldn't trade it for the world.
Me either.
That experience. I moved. The experience that I had basically was that I was in college, and I was 2 years in. And we were playing music in college. You know, we were kind of playing a couple of places here and there, but mostly just playing in the warehouse there. And the two guys, the keyboardist, guitarist, and singer, decided they wanted to move to New York to pursue being in a band, and said, hey, you want to move to New York with us? And I remember telling my family, like, I've decided to quit college. I'm going to move to New York and be in a band. And that, you could imagine, that didn't go over very well. But that's exactly what I ended up doing. And I quit college, for 4 years, and moved to New York City. And, and it was tough. It was a lot of fun though. So like I said, I went out for my dream.
Oh yeah, for sure.
It didn't happen. And they ended up playing Lollapalooza actually after I left the band. They played on one of the side stages on for Lollapalooza. So that, you know, good for them, you know.
For sure.
I was a bit jealous back then, but of course when they broke up, I was like, yes, okay.
I wouldn't trade anything either for the things that, you know, we've gone through, you know, from bands to, you know, breaking down on the road and having crappy gigs and successful gigs and starting all over with new bands. Like, you learn something from everyone for sure. And
that's so funny. Lee Gordon just wrote those trees. Lee Gordon, you must have checked it out. That's funny, man. Yeah, there's a I actually have on my page, I have when we were on the radio, they announced us being on the radio for this Gainesville local University of Florida radio station, and they put us on there mainly because the guy who produced it was the guy who owned the recording studio that we recorded our demo on. So he was nice enough to kind of plug us on that kind of, you know, thing and on the radio, which I remember sitting in my car, and I don't know how I taped it. Maybe it was with that very boom box that I was talking about, guys.
Mm-hmm.
I still have it. I still have it digitized, and it's super cool to have that when we were on the radio, you know?
Yep. You want to hear a funny story? I had similar type things. You know, way back, I did two cassettes as a teenager, as a young musician, back in my Steve Vai kind of days, when I was like into big time shredding stuff, like the Vinnie Moores, the Steve Vai's, Tony McAlpine, you know, Paul Gilbert. I was really into that stuff for a while. And I did a cassette called, and there's still some out there in very small limited productions. One was called Reckless Fable. It was pretty cool. And the other one was called Eric Broadbent's Nuclear Leftover Project. Really stupid. Yeah. It was really stupid.
Leftover Project.
That's yep.
Very
and
specific.
Every single jacket, I think I made 200 of them, and I colored them all by hand with marker as a teenager, right? So these things are out there, and I'm working at an internet company about 15 years ago, whatever. And my bosses were a little longer than that even, but they were out at a yard sale and they saw one of my cassettes. Mm-hmm. So they bought it, you know, if I think it was like 25 cents, yay, you know, royalties, right? Or big time money for me, not. And bring it home, and I'm like all excited because I had seen this cassette. I didn't even have one anymore. And I put it in the cassette player. And I'm like all excited. Someone recorded over it. I was like, oh, man.
Yeah. As long as it wasn't Justin Bieber, though, hopefully.
No, he wasn't even making a thought yet, unfortunately. Jeff Hausman just sent me a message a second ago, too. And I let him know that we're talking about some articles on the Van Halen News Desk. So, and Jeff's out having some fun at the moment right now, too. I said, hey, we're talking about the show or talking about the website right now.
Yeah, totally.
Thanks, Jeff.
Jeff's got some great articles on the Van Halen News Desk.
Yeah, check it out.
Yeah, and even though someone, not to sidestep us,
yep.
Because, you know, one other thing if I want to mention before we go back to the Van Halen News Desk.
Yeah.
The other band I was in Gainesville when I was in college was a band called The Vibe Merchants.
That's a cool name. So,
yeah, V-I-B-E Merchants, mm-hmm. Okay? If you guys want to check that out, that's also on YouTube. I think I put that up there. That was a mod band. The singer, guitarist, was... English, who lived in Gainesville, and I'm still friends with both of them on Facebook, Greg and Neil.
Okay.
It took me a second. Greg and Neil, both really nice guys. But a lot of that mod era, 60s, late 60s mod, you know, what do you call that from England, you know, kind of that British invasion kind of stuff.
Yeah. Okay. Right.
Yeah. So very, very cool stuff. And I played, and they had all the vintage gear. Vintage Vox amps, vintage Vox, you know, guitars and, or, you know, the, what are those guitars? I'm drawing a blank right
not
now.
The
Rickenbackers.
Rickenbackers. Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
They had the super old Rickenbackers with the old Vox Beetle amps, you know, the 100 watt Beetle amps and some of the combos and it's, you know, so I have a great recording of us live, that we played at some place called the Hardback Cafe in 1989.
Was it called Brokeback Cafe?
No. Oh, man. No, you didn't give me the cough.
That was a good one.
Yeah, that was very good. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. That's okay. My bronchitis is setting back in now. that's funny. The Hardback Cafe. So anyway, check out the Vibe Merchants. But anyway, going back to the Van Halen News Desk, I also downloaded today, which I hadn't listened to in a long time, was the David Lee Roth EP that he came out with in 85. Yep. So that was the article. That was the other article on Jeff's site, which they were talking about. I think there was an anniversary for that.
Yeah, I think so. Yep. Let's go back there right now.
Yeah, that's what I wanted to go back to as well. So let's see.
You're talking about the Crazy from the Heat one?
Yeah, Crazy from the Heat. This was the, so what's the anniversary on that?
I'm not sure. Let me see here. For 1985. So it was 30. Released in the city. Yeah. So that was, I enjoyed that. I enjoyed that record. I mean, I enjoyed it and I didn't enjoy it. The reason why I didn't enjoy it is because it symbolized the end of Van Halen in a way, you know, but that's one thing I don't like about it. I like Dave's stuff.
I loved it. I love the videos. The videos were awesome.
Pete Angelus. I mean, obviously, one of the guys who, you know, spearheaded, well, obviously very close with Van Halen indirectly, but I mean, you know, all the choreography and the, you know, the, what was it, the Picasso brothers and stuff like that, which would become down the road, stuff like that. Mm-hmm. It was awesome. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. California Girls, Just a Gigolo, Got Nobody. Those two videos cracked me up. And whenever I see them still, they crack me up.
For sure. Go ahead.
I was going to say, someone asked a question here. Mark, how do you like the Positive Grip Bias amp? I love it, man. I love it. I think it's great. And as a matter of fact, when my buddy brought over his Kemper, I compared it to the Kemper. I think the Kemper is super cool, but I think the Positive Grid Bias head is more fun. You can go in there and play with you can modify every amp that's on there by any way, six ways till Sunday, with transformers, tubes, everything else. I love it. I think it's just, I'm so glad I got it. I think it was a really great purchase, and I actually used it with the band. It was very loud. It was more than loud enough to play with a band. I didn't have any problem with it. So, it was great. And I don't just, you know, tout it. I mean, I would tell you guys if it sucked. I would really tell you if it sucked. Yeah. I don't think Eric Sands would be happy with me or anything, but I really would tell you if I got it and I didn't like it, or if I sent it back. And that's ultimately what would have happened. I wouldn't have kept it. I would have just sent it back. But I really do love it. I think Bias and Positive Grid hit a home run on it.
That's something I learned a lot from having Henning Pauli on the show a couple nights back there from Germany, the guy we met at NAMM. And one thing I he told me, he says, because he does a lot of reviews. For a living and things like that too. And he says, if someone wants him to give a favorable review and the stuff is garbage, he says, don't send it to me. And you know, he calls it like it is. If something sucks, he'll tell you right there in the video, this sucks. Why don't you do this? Why would you do this? Why would you do this? And he'll hammer it down their throat. So, and that's one thing you'll find with us too. You know, we tend to only talk about a few things a lot. We obviously talk heavily about the EVH brand, but we love the Boss brand. We love Positive Grid. We're working with some of these other people as well too. Friedman. Love it to death.
Yeah.
You know, but there's some stuff out there, like, do you see us talking about Behringer and stuff like that? You know, I mean, no, you know, there's some friends out there.
You know what? I'll even give you guys, let's talk about the PV video that you put up.
Okay. All right. Well, you want me to be honest about it?
Yeah. Let's talk about the PV video. Let's jump on that, because I think there were some comments on there and people were kind of wondering why we did it. Because there was some requests about, you know, for us to check out that PV head. And I will tell you,
120.
I thought it was horrible.
Okay. So here's my thoughts. And this will tell you how unbiased I am and how honest I am. I've had many PV products over the years. I've had everything from Bandits. I've had the Renown 212. Mm-hmm. I've had Stereo Chorus 212. I've had Backstage Pluses. I've had many versions of the PV 5150s, including...
I still have one. I've got the PV 5150 combo.
Mm-hmm. I had the 5150, the 5152. I had the combo. All that kind of stuff. Loved them. I had the Joe Satriani. Loved them. Even back in the day, the PV VTM, Sean Salisbury, remember that, because he posted some videos back in the day using the VTM. Was a nice gainy amplifier. I'm sorry, PV, I don't like this one. What I did like about it is I like the foot switch was impressive. I mean, if you could use it on another amplifier, cool.
That was awesome. Yeah, that was honestly, very cool.
I chopped out my performance because I did a performance in the PV booth and I elected to take it out because I can't have my name associated with, I mean, first of all, it's not all PV's fault. My performance, I was playing on a guitar that wasn't the best guitar.
The guitar was horrible.
Guitar was bad.
Guitar was bad.
Yeah. So if I have any relationship with PV anymore, I mean, I was endorsed by them. I might not be at the end of this video. But
were you?
Oh, I was an endorsee for PV for quite some time. Matter of fact, I have an autograph. It's somewhere here. Joe Satriani gave me a personal thing when I became endorsed. And it says, "Hey, Eric, glad you like my amp." Because I was using the JSX amp.
He left them pretty quickly,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, he did. And so did Eddie.
He dumped them and went right to Marshall.
Yeah, yeah, he went from Marshall to PV and he went right back to where it felt good. Mm-hmm. And you know, it's funny about that too. I guess we're on a PV rant at the moment, but you know, I have a lot of the Joe Satriani live DVDs, and there's a couple where he was using. I think he was actually before he got his signature, they'd given him a bunch of triple X's, and actually that's another one that we had in the band. I didn't have it. My singer did.
I played that amp. I thought it was pretty cool.
I did too. I loved it. So Joe was using, I think at the time, the triple X before his signature came out, and his sound sucked. Very nasally. I kind of equate it to a sound of a wah, kind of cocked down a little bit, mm-hmm. in that nasal tone. So let's fast forward back to this. We wanted to check this out. We were very optimistic. The amp looked good. But the sound, no, I really can't say anything positive about it. So sorry.
Yeah. It just didn't impress me there. Maybe in a different setting, the amp would sound better.
Yeah, exactly.
Maybe it was time with it. Yeah. I mean, it was interesting because when that other guy was playing it, it didn't sound, you know, it wasn't that it was you, but it was like, I don't know what it was with the way the guy dialed it in when you were playing.
Real drop, like, you know, elevator cable string kind of down to like sub-zero drop tuning too. So I think that kind of stuff, because it sounds chunkier and.
Oh yeah, 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 yeah. But it wasn't you. It was, you know, there was something, whatever he dialed on that amp, it just sounded bad, and I wasn't impressed with that amp at all.
You know, I think it was too. He probably more than likely, a lot of those guys take the mids and they scoop them right down to, like, you know, almost turn the mids off, whereas I'm the opposite way. I turn my mids full blast.
Right. But even still, it wasn't that. I mean, I remember when the guy was dialing it in for you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It just, I don't know. Yep. At the end of the day, I wasn't impressed with that amp. I don't think you were. And that doesn't mean we don't like PV stuff.
No, love PV stuff. I mean, we have PV Wolfgangs. I love my PV Wolfgang. A lot of people like my PVs here. It's just not that amplifier. No, I mean, we're also talking about amplifiers too. I don't think you can put PV in today in the same caliber as your EVH and Friedman's and things like that. They just don't fit in there. Guitars, Wolfgang's still awesome.
But you know what? Sinner made a great point in the chat here. Mm-hmm. The Boss Katana. I love that amp.
Yeah, me too. I play on Eric's every day.
I play it all the time, you know. And I saw Yoshi posted a picture of
the Strat and
where he's staying. He ended up getting his Katana in his hotel room. And Yoshi, if you're watching, if you check this out later, I hope you're feeling better. Mm-hmm. I love the Katana. Now, do I think it's going to be loud enough for a band? I don't know. I haven't tried it yet, but it's 100 watts that I have.
Yep.
And I think if I put it on the full 100 watts, I think it might be.
I saw a photo of Yoshi, and I would pay anything to see this. This would be the funniest thing ever. I would love to see Yoshi, and he said he was playing on half a watt, and he said it was plenty loud. Mm-hmm. I would love to see Yoshi get in trouble from housekeeping or from the front desk. I'd like to see someone come knocking on the door and saying, "Sir, can you turn that down?" and have Yoshi say, "Do you know I'm the worldwide president and CEO of Boss?" You know, right. What I mean? I think that gives you cred, right? You know,
exactly.
Hey, I made this amplifier. I'm going to be loud. That'd be cool to see. I'd pay to see.
I was going to post on there. I was going to ask him where his Waza full stack was. If it was, you know, maybe somewhere in the back or in the bathroom somewhere.
Yeah.
But you know, I mean, he could probably have any amp he wants. You know.
That's right.
But that's super cool. I like the Katana amp a lot. So.
Me too. What I'm planning on doing in the very near future, I want to do this just because I like playing that amp as well too. I've been promising to get little Eric to bring his keyboard down here. We'll hook it up and we'll do a jam, and I'll use his Katana and he's going to play the keyboard and stuff like that. We'll do a little bit of a jam. And that Katana, it's very inspiring. I've been playing his SG through it just because that's mm-hmm. what's upstairs is SG and one of the Wolfgangs.
And, it's just plug and play.
You can dial like all you want and you mm-hmm. can tweak it all you want, but it is plug and play. And that's what I love about the Boss stuff. Mm-hmm. It's like even the DD500 that we've been talking about a lot, sure, you can get in there, you can go stupid with it, or you can just turn presets and have fun. That's it gives you the best of both worlds, because some people like those algorithms and programs and, you know, that stuff. I'm not really for that.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. Yeah. Darren Moore, how you doing, Darren? I don't know if I mentioned you before, but thanks for watching. Hope you're doing good, buddy. He says EVH and Freedman's are the best two BAMPs available. I would only argue that original Marshall Plexi is as good, but I do not have any desire to use Marshalls. I think there's some other ones out there that make some really good ones. I would Metropolis amps. Mm-hmm. That guy makes some really, really great amps. They were at NAMM and we missed them.
Yeah.
I would have loved to have checked them out and maybe even have, I think his name is George Metropolis.
I think you might be right on that.
Yeah. I'd like to have him on the show one day and talk about his stuff. And I know he's friends with Dave Friedman and, you know, the whole crew. He makes a great, great amp. And then also Germino.
Yeah,
that Jacob is tied to.
We talked to him way back. He actually wanted to come on now. It's Greg, right?
Yeah, Greg Germino. Yeah.
Yeah, he's going to come on. But at the time I talked to him, this would be probably back around October-ish. It was slightly after you came on the show. You came on in August. He wanted to come on, but he wasn't even connected, like as far as he didn't have webcam, microphone, stuff like that. So we'll touch base with him again and see where he's at today and see if he'd like to come on.
Landry makes some really cool stuff. You know, it's almost kind of like, and also Splawn is another one.
Mm-hmm.
Splawn makes some great Van Halen, you know, Marshall-y kind of amps as well. And yep. I have my Quick Rod and I love that amp. Really do. It's a great amp. And you, what's that?
John Sewer too.
Yeah, Sewer. Exactly.
We both met him there and got talking. And I think it was nice when he talked to both of us. You know, we've both talked to him in the virtual world or, you know, online, whatever. But once he got to know us, like, oh, okay, you guys are, you know, somewhat normal people. he felt a little bit more comfortable. And I think now with, you know, the connection that we talk with Pete and Ian.
Yeah,
I think that'd be a great show. I mean, hands up, thumbs up if you think it would be a great show. Have John Sewer, Ian Thornley, and Pete Thorne on the same show.
That would be my dream.
I want it to happen. Let's see if we can make it happen. I'll reach out to that and see if we can get those guys to do that. It'd be fun.
Yeah, and Dave's saying, well, we need to check out Rock and Roll Amps brand. Amazing hand wired amps. You know, I've heard your stuff, David, and I'm sure that they're awesome. I also have a local guy here named Marsh. I think you should change the name personally instead of, you know, it's pretty simple. But his last name is Marsh. His name is Mike.
Yeah, you can really change
it. Marsh.
Yeah.
So, but I have one of his amps, which is a Dumble clone and a Fender, old Fender blackface. And he makes great. But yeah, Darren Moore says, I do want a Splawn. I'm telling you, they make great amps also. There's just so much out there to get, and I wish I had, you know, a ton of money to do it all. But I've heard Rock and Roll Amps is really cool.
I've heard Dave too. Yeah, I've heard it a few times. And I think one of the first times I heard Dave play it, he was playing, I think, with the Friedman BE Overdrive pedal going into it. I'm pretty sure that's what he was doing. That sounded phenomenal.
Yeah, cool. That's good stuff. Very fantastic. Cool. So going back to maybe the article that we had from the Van Halen news desk, right? So because I wanted to kind of stay on that. So we had a David Lee Roth thing, which is cool. I think the one last one that I wanted to talk about was that guy's reaction to Van Halen for the first time. I had a really good chuckle from him. I could have done without probably some of the profanity. You know, but I think that that's just me being an old fuddy-duddy. You know, it just kind of wasn't my, let's just say it wasn't my kind of profanity. But at the end of the day, I thought his reaction was so awesome.
I know.
You know, just watching Eddie, he's like, oh man, he's freaking awesome with the cigarette and the whole thing.
We all take it for granted too, that we think everyone in the entire world has heard Eddie Van Halen or heard Eruption or Hot for Teacher or something of that sort. But there's a lot of people like, what? I'd never heard of this. And then they hear it. Yeah. It's almost like he's a witch, burn him. You know what I mean? Like, it's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. Especially if you're, you know, if you're a guitarist yourself and you've never heard it before,
you feel bad.
Yeah. But just to hear Eddie for the first time and just watch somebody's reaction to that is super cool.
Right. One thing too, I want I want to say a thank you, a big thank you to Jeff as well too. The other article he had posted was nice with celebrities around the world, you know, wishing Eddie Van Halen a happy birthday. And there was so much. I mean, Eddie was trending worldwide that day, like totally trending worldwide. Every social media platform there was. And so on his story, he's got, you know, just kind of giving a little bit of a history of Eddie. And I was very, very flabbergasted when I saw this. He's got, you know, tweets from Janie, tweets from Wolf, a video from Aerosmith, a thing from Rolling Stone, and then right down underneath that he's got D'Addario as well too, and he's got my video I did for a birthday shout out too, and that was fun. I did that about 10 o'clock at night. I was getting it ready for the midnight hour because I really wanted to release this at the midnight hour on Eddie's birthday. And so I'm actually doing it in advance. Okay, today is January 26th, whatever. And it was so funny. Little Erickson here, he's my coach. Okay, Dad, put a little bit more meaning into it. Put some emphasis into it. Make it look like you're happy. Maybe smile. It's so kid's a little director, right?
Right.
But thank you, Jeff, for putting that on that feature. That was very, very nice. I appreciate that immensely.
Super cool. Super cool. Yeah. Yeah. I've been on the road so much. I haven't had a chance to check out so many things, just working so much, but I'm definitely going to catch up on some things. The other thing that's a really great article on here was the, Jason, from Ishibashi Music.
Oh yeah. Jason McNamara. Yeah. That was great. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, first of all, the experience that he had was awesome, but then us meeting him was so cool. Really nice guy. He did a great video with Charlie.
Mm-hmm, he sure did.
Yeah. On the Lunchbox amp. There's some really great articles on here. So basically kind of, you know, I think I'm pushing the Van Halen news desk because I think Jeff does a really great job. And you guys should check out the page. He's got a lot of great articles on Van Halen. It's all about Van Halen, every day, all day, every day.
And I was happy for him too, because, you know, sometimes, I mean, we all know the term slow news day. And sometimes, you know, there could be nothing to talk about on the news desk. And it's kind of a drag because it is the biggest Van Halen website in the world. And it's nice to, some stuff was happening. There's a lot of stuff going on. Birthdays, we've got anniversaries of, you know, Roth. We've got, you know, new products from EVH gear at, like, all over the place. And that's not just EVH, but with Alex Van Halen and stuff like that as well too. I mean, it was good. Jeff's just like, he's probably getting to the point where he's like, okay, we're swamped again. You know what I mean? And then you got to catch up. And so good for him, man. Good for that. Good for all the readers that, that frequent the website for sure.
Agreed. Yeah. I go to it all the time. I've been going to his website for years, even before I knew him, before I was associated with the show. I've always been going to his site. So
you want to hear a funny story in a connection with that too? And I'll make this a very brief one too, if that's possible in the real world. Eric can tell a brief story. back in the day in the 1990s, and our mutual friends, Rob Johnson, people like that will tell you, they'll vouch for me when I say this. Back in the day, some of the two biggest websites when it came to Van Halen websites were my site. I used to run a website called, I had several domain names. I wish I still had it. EVH5150.com. I owned that. EVHguitarist.com. I owned. Unchained World was the name of my site. And the only other competitor was Van Halen News Desk. And it wasn't owned by Jeff at the time. And Van Halen News Desk was a fan. It was actually a buddy of mine, Grant, over in Australia that owned it. And we were friends, but we were competitors back in the day. And mine was strictly all about Eddie Van Halen, whereas the news desk was obviously everything Van Halen related.
Right.
And that was the only competition. And then you look many years down the road and now look at Van Halen news desk as a global behemoth that no one can touch.
Oh, yeah. He's got the biggest site for the most part, I would imagine. So, I mean, he has almost over close to 230,000 people. Based on what I see. So
It's crazy. Good stuff, man.
Yeah, really good. Very, very good stuff. And the article about Eddie's birthday was great. And just all the love that he got for his birthday is super cool. That had to make him feel really good. He's 62 years old, right?
Yes, correct. Yeah,
that's awesome. Yeah. That's awesome.
I just had a Facebook message pop up here. I'm just going to say hello for Jeff Alexander, fellow Canadian buddy out in the West Coast. He just said, tell everyone Jeff says hi. So hello, Jeff. Oh,
cool. What's up, Jeff? How are you, man? You know, and I've been looking on the EVH Gear site just to see if there's anything that they're saying about lefties. And the only thing I see is the Wolfgang USA left-handed.
There you go.
That's it. Within any of the models. Yeah. So it's just, for whatever reason, I feel very fortunate that I own a Wolfgang special from Japan. That was, as soon as it came out, I bought it.
Yeah, those are nice guitars.
They really are. They've got the, if anybody is going to go back and try to get a Lefty, I know I'm jumping around here.
No, that's good.
But if anybody's going to get a Lefty, Wolfgang, I would recommend getting the Japanese special if you can.
I mean, same as mine back there. Mine's right-handed, but you and I have talked about this particular model many times. It's a great crafted instrument.
It is. Yep. It's got the stainless steel frets. They're the vintage style frets, but it's got the stainless steel frets. It's got a very figured,
bird's eye
maple neck. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Or the fretboard,
yep.
The quartersawn neck. And you know, it does have a veneer of the, you know, it's not a full maple cap, or at least, I don't think at least the top is a full maple thing, but it's a veneer, but it looks gorgeous. It's flat top. It just sounds great. It's a great guitar. I love it. It competes just as much as my USA.
Yep. I'm gonna be talking to the guys at EVH on Monday too. So I'm just gonna reach out as far as the Lefties and just say, what do you recommend for the guys just to look for some of these? Would you do you recommend going to your guitar centers and your Sweetwaters and things like that and look for any new old stock? I'll get the word right from the horse's mouth on Monday, and I'll share that in a future update.
Yeah, I mean, I've looked on, you know, Sweetwater before. To look up what Lefty, it's pretty sparse out there. I mean, you know, like if I just do a Lefty Wolfgang right now search on Sweetwater, let's just see what comes up.
Sure.
They have nothing.
Yeah. Zero matches found.
That's it. I don't have anything for a Wolfgang, Lefty Wolfgang, on their site. So. It's sad, unfortunately, but yeah, talk to them, see what they say.
Yeah. You know? And I'll do that survey too. Like I said, I'll put that up on the website. I'm trying to do that over the weekend and I'll put it up there, and people, please, I encourage you, go to the website. Instead of going there tonight, go there like tomorrow afternoon. By tomorrow afternoon, I'll have the survey up on the site and, you know, voice your opinions and say, you know, you would buy a Lefty Stripe series or Lefty this, whatever, you know, if the availability was there. And they'll just, you know, pass on the numbers. I'm not going to say it's going to influence anything, but I'm sure, you know, it wouldn't hurt to hear from us. So,
yeah, definitely. And I can't wait to get my Lefty.
Mm-hmm.
I can't wait to get that guitar. Oh, I'm so psyched for that.
That's going to be nice. Once that's at the distribution center, it's actually the one Mark's getting is the one that he literally played on the floor. So it's actually pretty cool to actually have a, you know, a NAMM piece literally from NAMM, you know, in your possession. So that's going to be very, very cool.
But yeah, I cannot wait to get that guitar. It's going to, you know, it was actually the guitar that was photographed by EVH Gear and, you know, and all their publications and everything. So it's super cool. Yeah. I'm honored to get it. So, it's very cool. Mm-hmm. April's asking, when are you getting your guitar? My wife's asking that in the chat. Yeah. It's in the works.
Yeah.
It's in the works. From what I understand, it's in the works.
So. Basically, you got to think of how big that booth was. And it's not, even though that the booth
is not just
big, but it's Fender itself. Yes. Fender itself. So take Jackson, Charvel, Fender, EVH, all of that stuff. Put them in several container loads. Get them back to where they got to go to, tearing down the booth, and then, okay, now let's find this guitar and there's a serial number XYZ, whatever. Okay, pull it. I would not want to be the staff having to do that job. So, yeah.
I agree. There was a lot for them to, that's why I have no expectations for it to happen immediately. I know it's going to take some time. They have to get all those guitars back in inventory, make sure everything's there, make sure everything's okay and check them all and all that other stuff, and then by the time they get through that, then they have to, you know, go through the stock and start distributing what they're going to end up selling. So I know it's going to take some time. My wife's reminding me that we're going to be going to dinner at 7, so we gotta end in about 5 minutes. So if you guys have any other questions, you know, let us know. I see No Camp has a question. Are the pickups EVH or another brand? No, they're EVH brand pickups. They are the Wolfgang pickups that are in the USA Wolfgang, and also all the other Wolfgangs for that matter. I think even the standard, Eric, it's just an overseas made pickup, right?
Made to the exact specs, and they don't sound any different than any other ones that I have here. Phenomenal. As you see, I play that one all the time. Take a look, actually, when we're done the broadcast, go back on our Facebook page, facebook.com/EVH Gear Discussion, and I played with that guitar today live, and it sounds amazing. I swear by those pickups.
It's got to be the, you know, the same specs for the most part. Mm-hmm. You know,
they're built right to the spec.
Yeah, they sound exactly like it. Yeah, Dave said it's just a thinner piece of maple, but it's the real deal. Yeah, totally. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's just a thin, you know, veneer, but it's not a, it's not fake. It's not a fake image of wood. So it, it's gorgeous.
Because there are some guitars where they have like a laminate, like a almost like a sticker of a finish, and then they put lacquer over top of that, whatever. And this isn't the case.
Totally, totally. Yeah, this is a real maple figuring, whatever it is. Yep. You know. But yeah, so, and he's saying all pickups are exactly the same. Yep, they are exactly the same. That's what we're saying. Right. Yep. So, but yeah, you know, we just wanted to come on tonight. I miss coming on for the past, you know, few shows, and because I've been working so much, and it's been quite hard. I've been traveling, you know, and NAMM almost killed me.
It did. I mean, it worse for you because you had a lot of traveling leading up to it and after it. But and it's funny too. I said today, I kind of felt like an idiot when I said this. I said, I miss my guitar, but I was surrounded by 2,500 guitars. You know what I mean? But I missed my guitar.
But you know what? We were so busy, you didn't get a chance to play for the most part. You know, it was about, you know, I mean, first of all, there weren't a ton of lefties there, but there were lefties that I saw in different booths. The Angelico had lefties. I didn't see any in the Sur booth. There were a few, obviously, at the EVH Gear booth. I think I saw a couple other in the Fender booth, but it was just super hard to play. While we were there. And then when I was on the road, I didn't play. Yesterday I was really having, when I got home and I pulled the guitar out, I was having a real hard time playing.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was just kind of I was very cold and I forgot a lot of stuff. Like, you know, it takes time to just get your mind back into playing again. You know, like sometimes you get on it and you're ripping, and other times you forget stuff. Like, I don't know.
It was good. The break was good for me, and I felt really good. I've been playing every day since I've been back now, and I'm really having fun. It's got the passion, which is good. As we're getting here to 6:27, we'll wrap up in a moment. So this is something I wanted to say. It's a big, big thank you. And I'm sure I can speak for both of us when I say this. We hit 2,300 subscribers the other night. Phenomenal. I mean, I know it's not like some of these other channels out there that have 5, 10, 50,000, so on and so forth, but 2,300 subscribers coming from 30 a year ago, exactly a year ago. Thank you so, so much. Our NAMM video, the EVH Gear NAMM 2017 New Gear Exclusive Tour 5150 and more, 12,600 views in a week. Thank you so very much. Anything you want to say to that? I'm just floored. Thank you.
No, I'm humbled by it. It's awesome. You know, just to have that many people watching the video, and I thought you did a great job. I thought Matt did a great job. And just the fact that we've got 2,300 subscribers, those are really great people, and everybody who's subscribing and watching, you know, can't thank you guys enough. Really, I wish everybody has a great, great Saturday night.
Fantastic. 29 people watching right now, 20 thumbs up. I mean, we can't ask for more. This is not even a regular broadcast schedule for us. So when we do these rare ones like this and you guys are still there, it's almost like we're saying, hello, are you there? And you're there. You're always there. Every time we say something, you're there. So thank you so much. Yeah. All right. Have a good one. We'll let you go. Mark's going to head out to dinner, and I'm going to enjoy some family time here as well. Catch up with us over the weekend on our Facebook platforms and things like that. Carry on the conversation. Facebook.com/EVH Care Discussion. Don't forget to take a look at our website at EVHCareDiscussion.com. And from that website there, you can find all of our social platforms and so on and so forth. Thank you so, so much. And we have to go, and we will see you real soon. Have a great weekend.
I've got one last thing I want to say. Happy birthday to Dave's stepdad. He said it was 75th birthday. So
happy birthday for sure.
Yeah. Happy birthday to his, you know, for your stepdad, 75th birthday. That's a big milestone. So
rock and roll, man. Have a good one. Cheers from EVH Care Discussion and all the fans.
All right, guys, you have a great weekend. We'll be going live some point. I'm not traveling this week. So I'm sure we could do a Friday show.
Yep.
And if we wanted to pop in any other time this week, we'll be around.
Sounds good. All right. We'll see you real soon. Take care, everyone.
Take care, guys.